Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Cape Town, South Africa. It's a picturesque coastal city attracting huge numbers of tourists and prestigious international conferences to its many five-star hotels. Sounds like an ideal place to visit, right? Well, there's just one problem. This modern city of 4 million people is literally running out of water. That's right, it's running out of water. A long drought, poor planning and politics have all been blamed for the water crisis. The city's imposed tough water restrictions and heavy fines, but the dam levels continue to drop. They're approaching what they call day zero. That's the day, recently pushed back by a small amount of rainfall, when the city will turn off its dwindling municipal water supply. At the moment, Cape Town's residents have a 50-litre-a-day water limit. That's considered the bare minimum for people to continue daily life without increasing the risk of waterborne illnesses. After day zero, it'll get much worse. Water allocation will halve to 25 litres, only available from 200 collection points that'll be guarded by national police and the military. Well, how did it get to that stage? And indeed, what is the remedy? Adam Lovell is the Executive Director of the Water Services Association of Australia. We asked him about Cape Town's plight and indeed to make some comparisons with Australia.
Very happy to be here.
It seems unfathomable that a modern city would be out of water. How does that happen?
Yeah, it is unfathomable and it's borderline emergency as we speak. How does it happen? That's a very good question. There's a lot of things at play when we talk about Cape Town and where it is right now. It's gone through an incredible drought, a drought that they just haven't experienced ever before in measurable history. It's the subject of politics as well. The ruling ANC actually doesn't control the Western Province where Cape Town's part of. And so there's, of course, been claims and counterclaims of the national government withholding funds and not enough planning going into water security, probably elements that are true in both. And if there's anything that we know here in Australia, particularly in Perth, you really do have to look for all of the water security options that you have at your fingertips. I think we've got to be careful too, is that it's easy to be patronising here in Australia about what's happening in Cape Town.
Look, I was about to say, not very long ago that several Australian cities were facing similar situations. Sydney was down to water rationing. Other cities have certainly faced that. In country areas, they've often been without water, and we've trucked water, haven't we, into the middle of Australia?
Absolutely. In Western Australia, for instance, it's just too expensive to try and put in piped water into some of those smaller towns. So it is trucked in. It's trucked in from Perth, and that's the cheapest way to provide it. But it provides every Australian citizen, practically every Australian citizen. There are some Indigenous communities, of course, that we do need to look at very, very strongly about how we can assist those. But for many, a great majority of Australians, you can turn on a tap and with the knowledge that you're drinking safe drinking water. That's a great situation to be in. And of course, here, when we went through the Millennium Drought in Australia, desal plants were put in. Some have since been mothballed. That's here in Sydney in particular. And some are in use. So if you look at Perth, for instance, they have two desalination plants running 100% of the time.
Wow.
That is their base flow.
Yes.
That is what they rely on for their drinking water supply because it is literally stop it raining there. The dams that they have are actually nice to have rather than sort of a need to have type scenario. They're looking to be, they'll probably be one of the first cities in the world to have almost 100% manufactured water, or at least also relying on groundwater sources as well.
Well, that's amazing.
Cape
Town tells us that, like Perth, you have to plan ahead. And I think we might put on the shelf for a moment people's scepticism about the desal plants, and there is a lot. I mean, there was a huge amount of public expenditure, but let's just say that at some stage perhaps that will be necessary because, as we understand it, weather, dry weather and extreme dries, extreme wets, these are the things that are increasing because of the changing global climate.
That's right. You know, you won't find a climate change denier in the water industry. That's for sure. I mean, you've got to ride through these. But I think the most important thing is that you rely on all the levers at your control. And I think, and the one thing that did work tremendously well here is the community got on board. You know, when water restrictions first came in, of course, they were quite harsh because they needed to be, and they dug very deep. And businesses, no doubt, were, you know, really struggled, particularly turf businesses, because they just couldn't water their core product. But the community got really involved in this. And right now we can actually demonstrate that in Sydney, all the capital cities, there's been a 25% drop, permanent drop, in water use, particularly around residential dwellings. So people, just common sense things like not watering down hard surfaces, watering in the morning or in the evening, watering your car on lawns, water efficient shower heads, which also save you a lot in terms of energy and your back pocket. So there's a component of water efficiency, being really efficient with the water used around the home, desal, which is obviously really suitable for all of our capital cities, water recycling, which is popular yet costly, and I think we've got some way to go there on water recycling. And then, of course, the regular dams that we have. So if you look at all of those, plus you put in sensible pricing, if you look at all of those components, then they all work together. That's like your portfolio to provide your diversity and security. And I think that's what we, as Australia, through necessity, let's not pretend that we designed this perfectly from the get-go, right? But by necessity, we develop these options, and they're something that we can offer advice to others in the world. And we'll be seeing a delegation from the Western Cape, Cape Town, in about a month's time.
We will indeed. Adam Lovell is with us. He's from the Water Services Association of Australia. It's the peak body that represents Australia's water utilities. Adam, back to Cape Town, where you've actually visited in recent times. What's it like living in a place, or at least visiting a place, in your case, where the reservoirs are literally going to run out of water? That is to say, zero, just mud, nothing.
Yeah, it is actually top of mind. There are a lot of signs around that remind people about the water situation. That was even when I was there in April last year. You know, it is actually on people's minds, and that's part of the community spirit. But what they really need the community to dig even harder into being as efficient as possible with the way they use water. And that means, you know, some of the things like that happened here in Australia, like, you know, if it's yellow, let it mellow, that sort of thing, limiting toilet use where possible, those sort of things, which all contribute, you know, in their own way. I think the other thing which always strikes my mind is people often see the beautiful pictures of Table Mountain and Cape Town, which is an absolutely beautiful city. But for only 15 minutes down the road, the main highway, you go through, townships and people, millions of people who live in tin sheds.
Well, getting water is hard enough for them anyway, but...
It is, yeah.
What plans are in place? Tell me that there are some to provide water for those people.
Well, there are definitely plans in place for all of those people, but again, it's going to be a line-up system. You know, so there'll be collection points. They're planning 200 collection points around the city.
So then you'll see mothers carrying those shots with
absolutely.
People. Big water jugs.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. And it does become an issue after a while with your wastewater system because, you know, the way, rightly or wrongly, the way we have designed our systems is to have water carry our waste away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that water carrying your waste away, then you're sort of looking, not necessarily, obviously, at overflow issues, but at septic sewage and that sort of thing. But anyway, that's a story for sort of the least story because you need water to actually survive. So that's obviously the number one priority.
Well, Adam, I think at the end of the day, we can pray. Can pray for rain, and it will come. But in the meantime, God has also given us great capacity to use our ingenuity as human beings in order to use technology that he's given us. And I hope that they can get something going there. But it's a long time now to build. Is there any prospect? Now, they don't have – will they be able to pump seawater or
– Well, what they're planning to do is putting in a few small desalination plants, nothing like the size that we've seen here in Australia, and that will assist in a little way. There's a couple of aquifers that they're hurrying to drill and so to bring water, groundwater up. That will all require treatment, though, because no doubt it'll be saline, it won't be nice to drink, and it won't be safe to drink. So all of these options require treatment, and these all take months to put in place. Even at the fastest pace you could work at, it takes months to put them in place. So there's a lot of work to do, even to provide a minimal supply from those sort of sources. And I think they're also looking at what they call potable reuse, so recycling sewage back into drinking water, which technology is well and truly there to do that.
As I understand it, it makes perfectly good sense. It's really quite unremarkable and has no health impacts if it's done properly, and it's got to be one of the ways of the future, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, because it's used in Singapore, it's used in Namibia, in fact, just up the road from South Africa. It's used in the US. And, in fact, Perth probably has Australia's first large-scale potable reuse facility that they're putting in. So they're recharging sewage into the ground. Groundwater will be there for about 30 years and then draw it back up again. But, unfortunately, here, politicians closed down that debate before it's even started, which is really unfortunate, because we believe the community, once they're informed about what the facts are actually really open to that being part of a water supply solution. Yes. It doesn't mean it has to be the only type or even part of it, but okay. The community deserves to be included in that debate.
I'm laughing because I can remember being right in the middle of that debate, and alongside it, because I served on a water board committee, a water inquiry on a parliamentary committee at one stage, right alongside that debate was the issue of composting toilets in residential areas, and most neighbours don't like the idea of having someone next door. But anyway,
no, that's
you
that's
might leave that one
right.
for another day.
Yeah, and look, you know, unfortunately, you know, here if you go back to 2006 election, it was unfortunately highly politicised, because we had a choice of either going for desal or going for potable reuse, and it shouldn't be like that. Every option should be on the table.
Yeah, I think you need them.
Yeah, we need them all, in fact. And so, look, again, going back to Cape Town, I know that they're all considering those. It's a timing issue. I think in terms of praying for rain, that's absolutely a viable option, and you know, hopefully, you know, God will deliver in that respect. Again, it's a very Perth-like climate, so they're looking for winter rain. But you can't pick these things. I mean, again, you know, if you looked at what's happened in Perth, it's just not recovered from anywhere near what its historical average was, and so you can't necessarily put the eggs in that basket. So it's just a matter of, you know, shoring up. Get that diversity in place, asking people to be as efficient as they can with their water use. You're looking for water recycling opportunities, looking for desal opportunities. All of these can play a major part in shoring up a city supply. But it all comes down to health. I mean, and that's the critical thing. You need water to live, and I think it highlights in Australia just how much we take for granted you know, good water supply, and the fact that water utilities take away sewage and return it to the environment, you know, as safely as possible, and I think that's too easily taken for granted sometimes.
Well, it's been really interesting speaking with you, Adam. I hope we can do it again. Thank you for your time.
Very happy to. Goodbye.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.